much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I'm young, I'm loose, I'm full of juice. I got the goose, so what's the use? We're feeling gay.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
I spent all my money on hookers. I spent all my money on blow. I spent all my money on everything. I don't even know where to go.
I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
I have been nice to you, but now I'm coming to the edge.
Holla!
I don't know what a hollaback girl is. All I know is I want her dead.
Girls should stick to girl sports, such as hot oil wrestling, boxy boxing, and such and such.
And now,
we still got it, that family chemistry. Cosby's, the Huxtables, the Mansons, they got nothing on us.
Our feature presentation.
What's up, party people? Today is Wednesday, the 9th of March. How you doing, Lisa?
I'm good. You know, I went to college on a such and such scholarship.
Oh, did you really?
I did, yeah.
Did you let her in high school and such as well?
Of course, of course. Wow, well, it's, you got to do that, yeah.
Long time such and sucher.
Yeah.
Like Muggs, how are you?
I'm all right. I actually heard some classic beer mug in the opening right there.
Yes, that was one of your many Afro calls where I think you might have either been in Las Vegas or in a bush when you called us. I'm not sure I remember which.
Either or.
Mugs, by the way, for folks who you know, who only barely pay attention to the Kevin and Bean show, Psycho Mike is off for a while. He's you know, participating in Dancing with the Stars, which debuts next week. So Beer Mug has kindly offered to come in and help run things here in studio, and that's why you're hearing us make reference to him. But Mugs has been around on the show on and off for a number of years now, and the reason he is called that, if I recall correctly, is because of the tattoo that you have on your leg of a beer mug, right?
It's on the top of my right foot.
Okay.
Yeah.
You didn't get the tattoo because people were calling you Beer Mug. It is the other way around.
The other way around.
Okay.
Yes, the name came from the tattoo.
And Muggs is a guy, by the way, who no one is more shocked than I am that he is able to keep this schedule and show up in the middle of the goddamn night to work, because he is not a morning person.
No. No, it's definitely a challenge for me, and I can't believe, like I said, I haven't blown up the board, the station, and
this is the thing we love about Muggs, though, because he started as an intern. Right?
Yeah.
And he was a mess then.
Yeah.
Right.
But he still showed up.
Yeah. Crazy work ethic.
Always showed up. And then he started doing some production. Still just a hot mess.
Yeah.
Still showed up.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's
a lesson to be learned here about just putting your nose to the grindstone and getting your job done, even if you're burning the candle at both ends, even if you're, you know, partying hard.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you still show up and put in the work,
except for
the
bush day.
Except for waking up in the bush.
Yeah, you didn't show up that day.
Anyway, we're glad to have you, Muggs. We appreciate you helping us out here. Here's a fantastic story. I'm always interested in legal cases, particularly when they are breaking new ground, particularly when something is technology has changed to a point where now people have to reinterpret the laws. The story comes out of Muskegon, Michigan. There's a 21-year-old there named Evan Emery. He is an aspiring singer-songwriter. And one of the things that he does is he writes cute little songs for kids. And he goes around to schools and he sings, you know, songs about lunch ladies and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he went and shot a video of him singing a lunch lady song and a couple of other numbers at a first grade class in Muskegon, Michigan. And then once the kids left, the classroom was empty. Then he recorded another song that was of a more adult nature. In fact, a sexually explicit song. Then he edited the video so that it appeared that he was singing this wildly crazy and inappropriate song in front of the kids.
Oh, okay.
Edited back and forth, so he's saying, you know, singing about penises and stuff, and then you cut to the kids in the classroom with the long shot, and you see them all laughing and clapping and singing along, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a funny video. Sounds like something you would do and put up on your Facebook page, and he did. Well, the next thing you know, police are knocking on his door to confiscate his computers and iPhones, and he has now been charged by the district attorney with manufacturing and distributing child pornography.
No way.
Way.
That's now, insane.
Recapping,
first of all, no naked children, right?
First of all, no naked children. Second of all, no sex of any kind, with the exception of the sexually explicit lyrics in the song. Third of all, none of the kids were there to hear it. It was all editing. But apparently, as the district attorney in Michigan describes, apparently in in their state, it's not just whether a kid is involved in sexual activity, it's whether it appears that the kid is involved in sexual activity.
So, but they're suggesting then that someone would watch this video who is into little kids and think that this was hot.
Well, they're not saying that. They're saying that just the act of him making it appear as if that sexually explicit language was delivered in front of children, that alone is a violation of Michigan state law. So you can just imagine the uproar over this on both sides. There are people who hate what he did and thinks it's totally wrong and don't involve kids and how could you and you're filthy and you're dirty. And then on the other side, there are people saying, hey, look, no kids were harmed in the making of this video. But this is, and I've heard of cases in the past before where, people have taken adult films, for instance, and put much younger faces on those bodies. It's the same kind of thing. You have to newly interpret the law because there aren't any young people in those videos, but it looks like there are, and that's too uncomfortable for some people and illegal in some places.
But this is just language.
That's right.
Wow.
I know. It's a crazy story, right?
Yeah.
So he has been suspended from his job as a waiter at Applebee's. And when he ended up at the police station when he was being interviewed, he spent the night in jail after he was arrested. He just thought about how much he regretted doing the video and how it wasn't funny anymore. So I don't know if it's going to end up being plead out. See, a lot of these cases that have come along like this have been pled out. So they haven't actually gone to trial so that new precedents could be established in the courtroom.
Yeah.
But crazy story, right?
I don't know that I want a new precedent established in this case.
He just thought he was making a funny video for his friends. Next thing you know, they're taking his computers away and charging him with child porn.
That is just tragic.
So anyway, I will keep my eyes peeled and give you an update when I find out something. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show.
That's pretty cool.
It is indeed. April Foolishness right around the corner. Tickets are going on sale tomorrow, 10 a.m., for Kevin and Bean Street Team members, go to KevinandBean.com and get all the details. It's free to register. It only takes a second. If you want to buy tickets and the most expensive tickets, the fancy schmancy tickets, those are, that's the upfront, the pit tickets. That's the backstage parking. That's the backstage party. That's the fancy schmancy t-shirt. Even those are less than $100. And the tickets are way cheaper depending on where else you go at the Universal Amphitheater, Gibson Amphitheater in Universal City, California. So it's an inexpensive evening of great comedy with Patton Oswalt and Jay Mohr, Ray Romano, Jim Jeffries, Bill Burr, Steve-O, Doug Benson, Axis of Awesome, Jimmy Kimmel, and his house band from the TV show Cleto and the Cleetones, all appearing for one night benefiting the Wounded Warrior Project. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 o'clock for Street Team members, and we'll give you a chance to win a pair with Lick Lisa coming up next hour. Three Days Grace, also Black Keys, Offspring, and yes, Arcade Fire, all on the way on 106.7 K-Rock KROQ. It is 5:50. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. The Ace Man, Adam Carolla, stops by later on today.
Also,
Chavo and John from the newly reunited System of a Down. Been 5 years since they played together. They're going to be on the program today. We got an all-new internet roundup. I mentioned Lick Lisa. And a friend of Ralph's is going to be on the program. I can't wait to talk to next hour, who drinks for a living.
Yeah, bastard.
Wow.
So his bar tab is paid wherever he goes in the world.
That's
right,
a write-off. Oh, that drink, that's a write-off. Oh, this bottle, that's a write-off. Oh,
I can have another one. Have another one. Write that one off too.
Write off. His tax return is like pornography for me. Oh, so hot.
Unbelievable. Anyway, all that's on the way at an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz News, how about some passes to a red carpet world premiere of a motion picture called The Lincoln Lawyer, starring Matthew McConaughey, or Matthew, as I call him. His friends call him Matthew. He is the lawyer with the rock-hard abs in this film. Oh, I'd love to get to his legal briefs. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know if you meant to say that out loud, but we did hear it, yes.
Sorry. Yeah, if you'd like to go to the red carpet world premiere of Lincoln Lawyer, it is at the Arclight Theater in Hollywood, California, one of my favorite places to see a movie. Thursday, March the 10th is when it's happening. Three callers right now, 1-800-520-1067. Three callers. First three they get through will win passes to the red carpet world premiere of The Lincoln Lawyer.
That's tomorrow night.
That is tomorrow night. Golly gosh, I just realized that. It's in theaters everywhere Friday, March 18th, if you want to check that out. So March 18th is a Friday. That means St. Patrick's Day is a Thursday, which means don't count on Beer Mug being here on Friday. I'm guessing that's what we're saying.
or you, for that matter.
You will wake up in a bush.
Yep.
When's the last time I missed a show due to drunkenness, Bean?
I don't know. Sometimes you just call in sick and we assume you're drunk.
How dare you, sir? That is not the case. Not now, not ever. Yeah, right. I hate to be in such a good mood this morning and then have such bad news to lead off the showbiz news, but former Alice in Chains bassist Mike Starr is dead.
No.
It's very sad. There's no room for comedy death music, Bean. That's sad.
I agree. We've talked about Mike Starr a lot over the past couple of years, especially after his appearance on the Celebrity Rehab, but I mean, no one, sadly, is surprised by this news.
No, that's true. He fought a long, hard battle with substance abuse and lost that fight. Yesterday, they found him in his Salt Lake City home yesterday afternoon at the age of 44 years old.
Mm.
He was arrested as recently as last month for felony possession of a controlled substance. And as Bean mentioned, he was on the third season of Celebrity Rehab in 2009. Can't believe it was that long ago he was on.
And by the way, Lisa, I know you watched last season, as did I, came back to address the current crop, the last crop of Celebrity Rehab guys, and said, hey, I've been sober for 6 months, and I'm doing great, and here's why you need to, and don't ever fall off, and blah, 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 blah. I mean, he looked great, looked healthy, and we all just held our breath that it would hold.
That's the thing about addiction is, the fight's never over. You got to stay right on top of it. And
why didn't he just quit with his mind? Why didn't he just blink his eyes and have it go away with the power of his mind?
Why didn't he?
That's how you do it.
I guess he doesn't have tiger's blood or Adonis DNA or all those other magical things that Charlie Sheen has. He, by the way, he's cashing in on the tiger's blood comment. I don't know if you saw it yesterday or not, but they have photos of him drinking out of a bottle of tiger's blood energy drink.
That's right.
Who do you think's going to endorse that? Apparently, Harkos Labs has put together Tiger's Blood Energy Drink. It's going to sell for about $4 a pop. And you can guess Charlie's going to make a few bucks off of that. So, yeesh. You know, yesterday he also took on John Cryer. Apparently, John has not been in touch with Charlie during all of this insanity. And Charlie slammed his former co-star from Two and a Half Men by saying, when I'm starring in multi-million dollar films and he's begging me for a supporting role, I'll say, you left me out in the cold. I'm sure that's what John's worried about.
Not that he ruined a show that John Cryer was on.
Not I'm sorry, John, for ruining your work life. But
yeah, exactly. Look, I think it would have been cool for John Cryer to reach out to Charlie Sheen, but I think Charlie Sheen is the one who should have reached out to John Cryer. It should have been the other way around.
Yeah,
he was the one who was responsible for all the turmoil.
I'm sorry all this is going on, but I want you to know that I apologize and wish it could be otherwise. Would have been a nice statement, but I guess he was waiting for John to call. And he said, John has not called me. He's a turncoat. He's a traitor. A troll. Yeah. Clearly, he's a troll.
You know, what's interesting about that is one of the 800 interviews that Charlie Sheen has done over the past 3 weeks, he did with Billy Bush. And Billy Bush said, hey, have you heard from John Cryer? And he said, no. And Billy Bush said, why don't you pick up the phone and give him a call? Be the bigger man and reach out and call. And Charlie Sheen said, I absolutely am going to do that. As soon as this interview's over, I'm going to pick up the phone. I'm going to call John Cryer. And obviously he didn't.
Yeah, that's just, I feel bad for John Cryer.
I do too. Because this is the first time he hasn't been responsible for a show being canceled.
That's right. I hope it goes on so that he can make some more money without Charlie. And
would that be awesome if he's making $2 million an episode in a couple of years? Still unemployed?
Not have to worry about whether Charlie's going to roll in off a bender and lean against the furniture or not.
Right.
He deserves a co-star who shows up ready to work. Willow Smith is in the news.
Yeah.
Quite the career woman at the age of 10.
She whipping her hair or is she a 21st century girl?
She's
what is she doing?
She's a 21st century girl. And she's also traveling the world promoting her music. She tells the London Sun newspaper that traveling the world is 50% hard work and 102% fun. Maybe some of the money from Whip Your Hair should go into a math tutor. That's all I'm saying. Maybe the 10-year-old could use a few lessons in arithmetic. I don't know how they count over there in the Smith household, but that can't be right. And Lindsay Lohan is putting together a lawsuit, according to TMZ.com, against Camafi and Company, the jewelry store that called the cops after she walked out with that $2,500 necklace. The suit will claim the store had no right to cash in from the sale of their surveillance tape. As we mentioned yesterday, it's going to be on a website called necklacevideo.com. Stills from the video have already been sold. I think $35,000 is what they made so far on that tape.
I don't think she has any case at all there.
Oh, I mean, does she? Oh, doesn't she?
Isn't the store allowed to record what goes on in their store and
do it
as they please?
Of course they are, Bean. But can they sell her image for profit without her permission?
Well,
can they take video featuring Lindsay Lohan and sell it for a profit without getting her permission to use her image? Can they do that, Perry Mason?
You know, it's an interesting question because...
That's why I said
it,
because
I'm
an interesting guy.
And now I'm going to make a statement, Ralph.
Okay.
She knew those cameras were there and went into the store willingly, so that might be consent just by walking in.
There's one thing to be consent to be surveilled and another to be for that video to be used for a commercial enterprise. I don't think anybody expects when they go into a store that... Their image that's used for security purposes is going to be used for a commercial enterprise.
They probably don't expect it, but I'm wondering if maybe they're consenting to it.
I don't think that's implied.
We'll see.
Because when you shoot some video that's going to be used commercially, you usually have to post signs to that effect saying, if you enter this premises, you will be put on tape for use for a commercial enterprise.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure the jewelry store does not have that sign up in their building, but we'll have to wait and see. Won't we? And if the ladies don't... Ladies don't have enough reasons to love Megan Fox. Here's another one. Her personal trainer, Harley Pasternak, was talking to HollywoodLife.com, and she says, training Megan is a blast. She works very hard, but Megan has a problem. She has a super fast metabolism, and she just can't gain any weight.
Oh,
that's rough. Oh, Megan, we feel for you. I'm sure ladies out there everywhere... singing your praises.
I believe that when the King of Mexico had that hard-hitting sit-down interview with Miss Fox a couple of years ago, I believe they actually discussed her metabolism. That was one of the topics that came up. I have that part of the interview if you want to hear it.
Great, yeah.
Megan, I just want to say one question. Hello.
Oh, you know what? Actually, I didn't get to that.
He asked so many questions. I have one question. Hello. How is that even a question? Today's celebrity birthdays, Linda Fiorentino.
Yes.
Talented and lovely actress is 53 years old today. 30 Seconds to Mars drummer Shannon Leto is 41. Former child actor Webster Emmanuel Lewis. Little Webster.
How about that?
He's 40 years old today. Webster's
11?
Yeah, on a good day. Actor Kerr Smith is 39 years old today. Rapper Chingy. Oh, Chingy. He's 31. Bow Wow is 24. And actress Brittany Snow, who I think we may be having on the show sometime soon. She's got a spread coming up in Maxim.
Yeah.
Any day now. Yeah, easy. She's 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Sexy time, as our friend Kat Corbett says. That's the Black Keys on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It is 6:18. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. Tomorrow, tickets go on sale for the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness Concert. This is a great night of comedy at the Gibson Amphitheater, Universal City, California, with Jimmy Kimmel and his house band from the TV show Cleto and the Cletones, Patton Oswalt, Jay Moore, Ray Romano, Jim Jeffries, Bill Burr, Steve-O, Doug Benson, and the Axis of Awesome, all on one stage. Be a street team member to buy your tickets tomorrow or win them right now with a little game we like to call Lick Lisa.
Can you lick Lisa? I think you'll find it's hard. But if you do lick Lisa, something hot's waiting for you.
Lick, lick Lisa, 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 lick, lick Lisa. But keep clear of her vagina.
Oh, I hate all the rules. I hate all the rules so much. Lisa, who's going to be your guest licker today?
It's Chip, and she's over there doing tongue exercises.
Yeah, I'm getting ready.
Chip's warming it up, seriously.
Stretching, yeah.
This is not the first time Chip has dealt with a woman, by the way, so I think you're going to be fine. I think you're going to get some good licking here today. All right, here's the way the game is played for folks who have not yet heard Lick Lisa. We're going to ask a question that has been that Alex, the producer, writes the questions, and I don't know what kind of mushroom she's on before she writes them, but they're very difficult to follow. You have a lot of trouble tracking these questions, and I certainly will have trouble reading them, but the answers will always be a number. Lisa is going to take a guess at what that number is. You, the contestant, will only have to tell us whether you think she is right on with her guess, whether the actual answer is higher or lower. If you're right, you have Lick Lisa. Chip will do some licking, and you will go into the drawing to win your tickets for April Foolishness. All right, everybody on the same page here?
Yes.
Let's take them in order, Beer Mug. We'll start with line number one, and it's going to be our friend Jason joining us, first contestant of Lick Lisa. Hi, Jason. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Very good. What goes on?
All right, what goes on to you as well? All right, listen up again. Remember, Lisa answers first. Jim Jefferies, one of the comedians I'm most excited about on April Foolishness, April 2nd. It's Australian for funny. How many calories, Lisa, are in the Outback Steakhouse's awesome signature dish, the Bloomin' Onion? How many calories in the Bloomin' Onion at the Outback Steakhouse? That's your question.
I think there's about 2,500.
2,500. All right, Jason, this is where you step up. Do you think that's right on? Do you think the correct answer is higher or lower? What say you?
I got to go higher.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Great guess, too, Lisa. 2,210 calories is the actual answer. Crikey.
I know my calories.
You know your calories. Well done. I'm sorry, Jason.
Sorry, Jason.
And I'm sorry for you, Chip, because no licking yet. But, keep doing the tongue exercises. Zach joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Zach, welcome, man.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing good. Listen up. Lisa, Supersize Me is the Morgan Spurlock documentary about eating fast food for a month. Super. Hey, Zach, we're doing a radio show here. You want to listen?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay.
Supersize Me is Morgan Spurlock's documentary about eating fast food for a month. Super High Me is Doug Benson's pot documentary about smoking marijuana for a month. During the filming of Super High Me, Doug's SAT score, his sperm count, and his weight all increased. Here's your question. How many pounds did Doug gain during the making of the movie?
I'll say 18 pounds.
18 pounds. What do you say there, Zach?
A little lower.
Lower is correct. Yes, 8 pounds is how much he gained.
All right, licking! Congratulations,
you're in the drawing for April Foolishness. Chip's going to do a little bit of licking here. Chip, what are you here for? Oh,
wow.
Right on the back. Is that the back of the elbow?
That's the arm, right there. It's on the inside of the arm.
Ooh.
Very sexy. Yeah. All right, let's try contestant number three. This is going to be Nella. Hey, Nella, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, dude.
This year, April Foolishness features Jackass star Steve-O. Glee's Cheerios cheerleading squad is led by the nasty coach Sue Sylvester. Here's your question, Lisa. How many cans of Spaghetti-O's are sold each year?
Oh.
There's an O theme going on today.
God, Spaghetti-O's.
Oh, my God.
4 million.
4 million. What do you think there, Hella or Nella?
Nella. Wow, that's a hard one. lower?
We do need an answer. Lower is not correct. I'm sorry. Although Lisa said 4 million, the correct answer, 150 million cans
so
sold
a
each
more?
Year.
A little bit more than four.
I'm sorry you did not look, Lisa. You are not in the drawing. Chip is just over there with dry mouth, man. You just can't wait to get in there. This sucks, right? All right, Steve, welcome to the show. You ready to play?
Yep. What it do, nephew?
What it do.
What it do, indeed. Patton Oswalt stars as the rat chef Remy in Pixar's Ratatouille movie. Rats were believed to be the cause of the Black Death, the 14th century medieval plague. Here's your question. Lisa, how much is a single adult ticket to medieval times?
I think I'm going to say...
We went from rats
yeah, we did.
To plague
to medieval,
to medieval times. That's how Alex's mind worked. How much is that ticket?
$45.
Steve, what say you?
I believe it's higher.
It is actually $57.95. Congratulations. All you're right. In the drawing for the tickets. Chip, lick away.
Lick away.
Everywhere with the vagina. Oh, right
the
on, the, on the face.
No,
nice.
No, the neck.
The neck. It's even
Girls
better.
Don't lick on the face.
Although I would pay to see it. All right. I think we have time for maybe one more. Okay. Dennis joins us. Dennis, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. You ready to play?
Yep. Let's go.
All right, this may be the most difficult question in the history of Lisa.
Oh, really?
Axis of Awesome, who we are delighted to have on the bill with us April 2nd, are three seriously funny Australian musicians. Axis of Evil are three seriously pissed off countries. Your question, Lisa, the Earth's axis is currently at what degree? Now, of course, the Earth's axis is what determines what the seasons are. It's the way that it's tilted in rotation with the sun. The Earth's axis is currently at what degree?
Just take a guess.
60.
60, you say. Dennis, what do you think?
Lower.
23.5 degrees is where the Earth is right now. How did Lisa not know that? Congratulations, you're in the drawing. Chip, you got one more lick here. What do you think?
That was the face right
that
there.
That was the face. All right. I believe we've got Zach, Steve, and Dennis all in the running for April Foolishness. Who's our winner?
Our winner is Zach.
Yeah!
Yes. Zach, way to be, man.
Thank you.
All right,
you're
congratulations.
Welcome.
We'll see you on April 2nd. For everyone else, don't forget, be a street team member. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10. Offspring on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It is 6:34. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. The Ace Man, Adam Carolla, swings on by for a rare in-studio visit today. He must have an awful lot of stuff to promote if he's willing to come in person. Also, Shavo and John from System of a Down are going to be joining us next hour in studio, talking about the upcoming System tour. The Witches and Warlocks are ticked off about Charlie Sheen. Ralph is going to tell us that about that coming up in the Showbiz Beat here in a few minutes. We got the Death Corner on the way and so much more here on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, how do you know our next guest, Dan Dunn? Is it because of, drinking?
Yes, it is. I have had the great honor and pleasure of actually bending an elbow with Dan Dunn on many an occasion. We hang out at the same bar during football season because we are both diehard Philadelphia Eagles fans, and that's how I know Dan, from hanging out in the shack in Santa Monica, California. But he also is quite the successful writer and bon vivant and alcoholic, and he's always a pleasure to hang around. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Hey there.
Dan, are you able to handle the rise and fall of the Philadelphia Eagles as well as Ralph does, or are you in a perpetual funk because of how long it's been since you guys have been to the Super Bowl?
I'll tell you, I could barely handle the rise of getting up this morning. I mean, how you guys do this? I just snorted a pot of coffee to get ready for this interview.
You don't ever get used to it. That's the bad news about this hour of the day. Now, Dan has a book out called Living Loaded, Tales of Sex, Salvation, and the Pursuit of the Never-Ending Happy Hour. That is available now. He also is best known, probably, as writing the Imbiber column. He is the Imbiber for Playboy magazine. Now, I didn't know there were articles in Playboy, but congratulations on that, Dan. Tell us what you do as the Imbiber so that everyone listening can be jealous.
Well, I go around the world and write about my adventures in the adult beverages, drinking. But just so you know, the book's not just about me going out and getting drunk. There's also stories of me going out and getting drunk with other people. People like Ralph, you know, so... It's fun. I mean, hey, I got a nice gig. I'm pretty lucky.
Dan, how did you carve this niche out for yourself? I think there's a lot of young men out there who would like to follow in your footsteps and would like to hear your success story.
I literally stumbled into it. And one day I woke up and said, really, they're going to pay me money to do this? I went to Scotland. My very first gig was I did a magazine piece where they flew me over to Scotland first class, threw me on a yacht. We sailed around to hit all these Scottish distilleries, and then I wrote 700 words about it, and a career was launched.
Wow. It's unbelievable. And what I think is great about your work, Dan, and I've been able to see a little bit of it, is that the story isn't just the alcohol, obviously. It isn't just the spectacular drinks that are made, the creativity that goes into that around the world. It's what happens once you start drinking those and the adventures that inevitably follow. And that's what makes your life so fascinating to me.
That's what makes it so fascinating to me, too.
You must wake up some mornings and say, wow, I've just partied with fill-in-the-blank and just done fill-in-the-blank, and say, alcohol truly is the door to adventure.
Man. Well, you know, let's just say, the beauty of this is I go ahead and get physicals, and I just had a physical recently. My doctor told me I have the liver of somebody who's never had a drink in his life. So I guess that means I can continue to do this for a few more years.
Okay, hold on a second here. What kind of deal with the devil did you make where that's happening?
Genetics, I guess.
Yeah, it's destiny.
Genetics. Yeah, of course.
That's unbelievable.
You must have tiger blood and Adonis DNA, I'm thinking.
But my brain cells rapidly decrease. He told me that. I've said this before. If it kills so many brain cells, how come it never kills the ones that make me want to drink?
That's true.
We're talking to Dan Dunn, Living Loaded, Tales of Sex, Salvation, and the Pursuit of the Never-Ending Happy Hour is his current book. It is available everywhere now. Dan, are there certain drinks that you love, certain drinks that you hate? Are you open to anything? Have you tried stuff that's scary and crazy? Tell me how that runs the gamut, the different kinds of alcohol you've had in your life.
Well, I pretty much drink anything. There are some exceptions. I've said this before. You know, if you're over the age of 6, you shouldn't be drinking anything that's blue. Anything the color of Smurf should be off limits.
Good point.
And also, frozen drinks are the banana hammocks of the adult beverage world. You can't drink the only exception on a frozen drink is if you're on a beach in the Caribbean with the hottest chick of all time and she's drinking one too. That's it.
When you go to crazy places, I don't know, I imagine you've been to most all the continents and most of the countries, but I mean, are there some recipes, the local tribes leader comes up to you and says, you got to try this, it's got elephant blood in it. I mean, have you tried some crazy stuff that you were a little afraid to put to your lips?
Well, I've had Mama Juana. I don't know if you've ever heard of Mama Juana.
No. No, what's that?
It's the Dominican Republic. It's basically twigs. It's like a tree they stick in a bottle. you get these giant bottles. They sell them all over the Dominican Republic, and it does. It looks like, they went through the garden and threw a bunch of stuff in a jug, and then they pour rum in there, and they let that soak and seep in there, and Mama Juana is supposed to have Viagra-like qualities to it. It's virility, and I don't think it doesn't taste very well, very good, but Mama Juana is one that I've had that sort of one of the more unusual tales attached to it.
Did you find it to be true about the legends of Mama Juana?
It doesn't take much to get me going, so yeah.
Sure, whatever it takes.
Perhaps blue ribbon in there too, and I'd be like, "Wow, she's hot." Yeah.
Dan, what is the? And I know sometimes the atmosphere plays into your enjoyment of how much you're going to love a beverage. I mean, you talked about the frosty drink, which you wouldn't like sitting on your couch in front of the TV, but you put it in the right Caribbean island with the right supermodel. All of a sudden, it's the best goddamn thing you've ever tasted. Is there a drink that comes to mind that you enjoyed more than any other because of the total experience around it?
Oh, wow. Well, I've sipped 32-year-old single malt scotch on a 105-foot tall ship,
yeah.
out sailing by the Hebrides, and that's pretty cool when you got things like that. Drinking Bordeaux in France, it just tastes a little bit better, when mm-hmm. you're there. And hey, like drinking a nice cold beer, watching the Eagles lose, I mean, it takes the thing off.
Or win. We could just, if we're imagining here, or win, right?
Yeah, it happens every once in a while.
Of course, Dan is the man who ordered the Irish car bomb in Dublin, right, Dan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No. I was with somebody else who did it, and that's just a staggering example of poor judgment there, of ordering an Irish car bomb in a packed pub where everybody's drunk. I'm being redundant. Of course, I already mentioned it.
Right. You mentioned it was in Ireland, right?
Yeah.
It turns out they take it a little more seriously in Dublin than just the name of a drink. Yeah.
Ralph, remember a couple years ago we had a big discussion on the air, and I think you're the one who brought this in, that every man, if you're going to call yourself a man, you have to have your drink, right? You
yes.
have to have the beverage that is your signature drink, that's your go-to, that's always appropriate, that's always good, right?
Right.
And we had a whole discussion about that, and there were a lot of rules to that, what it can be, what it can't be. Dan, do you have one that is the definitive Dan Dunn beverage?
I do.
All right,
the whiskey sour.
Ooh, that's
bringing
a classic.
Wow, classic.
It was the very first cocktail I ever ordered in my life because it was, I think it was the first one I'd heard. My dad used to drink them, so I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. I'll have a whiskey sour. And then, of course, that sort of fell out of fashion for a while, and I got really, living here in L.A., it's hard to get past the vodka soda thing because
mm-hmm.
apparently there's some prescription against actually having carbohydrates in your body. But once you get that, everybody orders vodka sodas here in L.A., so I'm rebelling against that by bringing back the drink from my youth, the whiskey sour.
There you go.
It's manly enough, but yet there's a little bit enough fruity goodness in there to make me feel good.
See, we learned a little something today. Dan writes, he's a terrific writer. Catch him in the Imbiber column monthly in Playboy magazine, and the book is out now called Living Loaded, Tales of Sex, Salvation, and the Pursuit of the Never-Ending Happy Hour. What a life, Dan, and thank you so much for joining us on the Kevin DeBean Show. We really enjoyed talking to you, man.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Take care, Dan.
Nothing was funnier to me than all the people who had never heard of Arcade Fire when they won the Album of the Year Grammy last month. That cracked me up. And man, did they deserve it. That's great stuff. 106.7 KROQ. It is 6:52. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. Adam Carolla on the program later on today. We got a new internet roundup for you, a new Bean's Death Corner, and most importantly, members of System of a Down, John and Shavo, who we have not seen in a super long time, are going to be joining us in studio next hour to talk about System of a Down, back together, and touring. So great stuff coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's happening?
Charlie Sheen may be out of work, but he may have a new career in the energy drink business. Yes, Tiger's Blood is going to be hitting stores soon. You'll be able to drink the legendary elixir that keeps Charlie Sheen immune from cocaine overdoses. Tiger's Blood.
Look, I'm not drinking anything that makes me look as bad as Charlie Sheen looks
winning,
right now.
Winning.
Seriously.
Here's the description from the website. Made from 100% passion, specifically to make your brain fire in a way that's not from this particular terrestrial realm.
Tiger Blood allows you to use household items. You're welcome to take more drugs than anyone can survive. Be different. Have a different brain and a different heart. When you feel tiger blood in your veins, you'll realize dying's for fools and that can't is the cancer of happen, period.
You know, I got tiger blood, man.
Yeah, so there you go. It's good times. I wonder if they use tiger's blood in the warlock and witch rituals. Charlie's cheesing off the Wiccans. One in particular, Christian Day, is an actual warlock who's been outspoken about Charlie's use of the term Vatican assassin warlocks.
Now, how does one become a warlock, Ralph? I don't know very much about this. Are you born a warlock, or you just decide like you would convert to any other religion?
I think it is just a choice, Bean. I think it's just a choice you make to enter into the Wiccan religion. And I think warlocks are men in the religion, and witches are females in the religion.
All right.
Christian Day, who's an actual warlock, says he is performing a cleansing ceremony in Salem, Massachusetts, to protect, heal, and bind Charlie Sheen against maligning warlocks in the future. He says he finds Charlie's understanding of warlocks to be shoddy, to say the least. The Vatican has assassinated plenty of warlocks, but the assassins are not warlocks themselves. See, Charlie's just got it all wrong.
Don't lump them in with the Vatican assassin warlocks. That's what you're saying.
That's what Christian Day is saying, and I agree with him wholeheartedly because I'm afraid he's going to turn me into a skunk.
We are high priest Vatican assassin warlocks.
It must be tough. A, it's hard out here for a pimp, but B, yes, it must be hard to be a warlock when you are almost never represented in the media, and then when you are, it's some a-hole who basically is throwing the term around as if he knows what it means, and if you're serious about being a warlock, I would imagine you would be pissed off about that.
And the only warlock I really know is Samantha's dad on Bewitched. That's the only guy I knew who was a warlock, so I don't have any personal experience with it. But I think I've cheesed off the warlocks, too, with cracks like that, because this email came from Brenda. Ralph, enjoy the show, but this morning a line was crossed. I took great offense to the show poking fun at my religion. I'm a Wiccan, and it seems nothing has changed since the days of the witch trials. Uninformed people like you, who know nothing about Wicca, feel it's okay to put down my religion. If you do a little research, you will find that a lot of modern religions took holidays like Easter and Christmas and the beliefs and practices of Wiccan celebrations. Thanks, Brenda. So Brenda there set me straight about the Wiccans, and I apologize if I'm upsetting any witches out there, but don't get your pointy hat all bent. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, that's not happening.
Hop on your broom and fly back to where you came from. Get around the cauldron and throw in some more Aya Newt, why don't you, if you're upset.
Ralph, I would like to invite Brenda, if she is still listening, and she's probably gone from this show now, thanks to you. I would like to invite her or any other witches or any other warlocks to give us a call right now at 1-800-520-1067. So, A, we can find out what their thoughts are on the Charlie Sheen warlock conversation, and B, we can find out a little bit more about their religion. How about that?
And I would like them to put some sort of binding spell on you. So I'd like to talk to one of them personally so I can see what I can do about burning some incense or something, whatever it takes. Because
so if you're a witch or a warlock, we need to talk to you. And I know you're out there. 1-800-520-1067. They use phones, right? They don't only communicate telepathically, right?
Yeah, the crystal balls, whatever it takes. They shake a chicken foot at you. I don't know.
Let's see how this goes.
Bring it.
This is my last bit of Sheen news for the day, but it is a doozy. There is a newspaper that is the official organ of the Chinese Communist Party. It is called the People's Daily. Mm-hmm. They spend $6 billion a year publishing, including an English language edition. It is from China. And recently they did a piece on Charlie Sheen. It is hilarious. If you get a chance to go online, read it because it's spectacular. But let me read you some excerpts. I think some of it is lost in the translation from Chinese to English. I think some of it they just don't quite understand how we work over here. But it starts out saying, the actor Charlie Sheen is a classic example of the difference in Western and Eastern values and norms. Then it justifies pretty much censorship over there in China by blaming a lot of Charlie's problems on the fact that he got Twitter followers, a million of them in just 24 hours. Sheen attracted 1 million Twitter followers in just 24 hours, yet more evidence that microblogs spread the most unhealthy contagions in society like a disease. Chinese family, co-workers, and authorities would have taken firm steps to make sure someone like Charlie Sheen did not make a public spectacle of himself. Then they say, Sheen goes on television and boasts that he has two girlfriends. who both sleep in the same bedroom. Is he too poor to set up his wives and mistresses in different houses? I think they're misunderstanding the point here.
I think so, too.
In Chinese society, these problems are dealt with delicately and privately. And then the best part. He ignored his own father's advice to keep quiet, who was once the president of the United States. So I think maybe they're a little confused over there in China. Pretty sure he wasn't actually the president.
They may be confused, but at least they didn't have to watch Two and a Half Men for 8 years.
That's true. There may be something to censorship. Today's celebrity birthday is actress Linda Fiorentino.
What was it The Last Seduction? Oh, was that the movie where we all fell in love with her?
Last Seduction, Blood Simple.
Wow.
Dogma with my buddy Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
Boy,
yeah,
she's hot in that, too. 53 years old today. 30 Seconds to Mars drummer Shannon Leto is 41 years old. Former child actor Emmanuel Lewis, who was Webster for many seasons, 40 years old. Actor Kerr Smith is 39. Chingy celebrates his 31st birthday. Bow Wow is 24. And the lovely and talented actress Brittany Snow, who can currently be seen on Harry's Law, she's 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Deny my dear.
Thanks, Mumford. It's 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q at 7:07. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. John and Shavo from System of a Down join us in about 15 minutes or so here live on the air. Very excited. Man, do I miss that band. You know, we have some bands that are staples here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and then they go away for years at a time, and we're left high and dry. So we're very excited about System coming back. We got a lot of questions for him on the way. Right now, though, talking about the Warlocks. Apparently, they are up in arms. Ralph reported in Show Business a few minutes ago that Christian Day, an actual Warlock, this past weekend had a cleansing ceremony to protect, heal, and bind Charlie Sheen by sending him ideas directly into his head via light so that he will no longer malign warlocks.
Yeah.
And apparently Christian Day is he's the most notable of the warlocks, but apparently all over the world, witches and warlocks are upset with Charlie Sheen, right?
Yeah, they pulled out their wands and said, shut up, because they did one of their spells, and they played some Quidditch and went home. So
I don't know that Quidditch is what they play.
Bean, will you learn something? Pick up a book.
Let's talk to Richard. We invited you to call if you are a Wiccan, if you're a witch, if you're a warlock, if you want to tell us a little bit about your religion and or comment on what Charlie Sheen has been saying, and if he's maligning the good name of warlock. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Richard, thanks for calling. Thanks for hanging on. What's going on, dude?
Thanks, Dean. Hey, you know, Ralph, just to let you know that the term warlock is for, like, comic books and books, okay?
That's why I love it.
Most modern witches believe they are witches, you know, and that's the whole... like the religion we're...
Okay, we're having a little bit of trouble with your phone cutting out, but what you're saying is...
You're summoning magic on your phone there, Richard.
What you're saying is...
Unfortunately, the area I am doesn't have any magic on the phone. So.
So for what you're telling us, though, is that for Wiccans, they consider all believers to be witches. There's no such thing as warlocks?
That's true, sir. You know, everybody has a different belief. You know, that's one of the beauties of witches. Everybody has a different belief, and you can believe what you want. But most people, you know, warlocks are for comic strips and things like that.
You can believe what you want no matter how crazy it is, too. That's another great thing about being a Wiccan, right?
That's another great thing. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Last question for you, then we'll let you go, Richard. Did you have any feelings at all about Charlie Sheen so liberally throwing the warlock word around?
No, you know, they can throw whatever words around you. Doesn't malign the religion. The real maligning comes from the people who don't understand. So,
gotcha. That's us. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's try Sherry, line 3, 1-800-520-1067. That's our toll-free number if you are Wiccan and want to be in on the conversation. And that's not a sentence I say very often. You should take advantage of this if you're Wiccan, because we don't often invite you to call.
We don't really do much for our Wiccan portion of the audience.
No, we don't.
True.
Hey, Sherry, what's going on?
Hey, not much. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good, Sherry. Really? Set us straight.
Okay, basically, Wicca, we're just an earth-based religion. We're out to harm none and just, you know, help ourselves spiritually. We're not, we're just us.
Right, so, but once in a while you turn people into toads, though, right?
Yeah, I wish I could, truthfully.
Yeah, that'd be so
cool.
But
then again, that would be harming somebody, and that would actually come back on me. So,
there's no such, if you're a witch in 21st century America, there's no such thing as a spell?
No, we cast spells.
Oh, you do cast spells. What kind of spells can you cast?
We cast protection spells. We can cast spells for, like, money. We can cast spells to help us with love. But with those, you have to be careful, because you don't want to control somebody. So if I cast a love spell on you, that would be controlling you and harming you. I could cast a spell for me to find love, which is why this
question's bothering me because he shouldn't be casting any spells on Charlie, because if Charlie doesn't want that protection, that's actually harming Charlie.
Yeah, you shouldn't be binding him against his will, right?
Yeah, you don't ever want to bind somebody against their will. That will come back to haunt you like there's no tomorrow.
All right, let me ask you this question, Sherry, and I mean this with all due respect. How hot does a woman have to be a witch and still be able to get a boy to like her?
A lot of us witches are pretty hot.
Yeah.
Really?
I've dated a few witches.
Really?
I'm not kidding.
Are you serious?
And they are, like, really, like, sexy. They're very open and very easygoing when it comes to sexuality and stuff, and free. Yeah, and they're very open to new ideas, God
bless. Well, then we should be having a wicked singles party. That's what we should be doing.
Oh, that'd be fun. Unfortunately, I'm not single. Oh.
All right, Sherry, thank you very much for the call, my dear. We appreciate it.
Let's try
Eli, line two. Eli, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You're a Wiccan?
Yeah, been practicing since the Catholicism ended years ago.
I was not aware that Catholicism ended.
I think it did for Eli, is what
she's
saying.
Oh, for Eli. Yeah. I see, for you. Okay, go ahead. What is it that attracted you to being a Wiccan?
Well, again, the fact that it was much more opening, much more accepting. I mean, I'm bi, so, you know, my sexuality was open a bit more in that.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Okay. And when you hear, has it been odd for you or not a factor at all to hear the word warlock in the news so much over the past 2 weeks?
It's just any other, you know, religion term being used. I mean, I was a Catholic at one point, and hearing the Vatican term being thrown in there and stuff, just it's like, okay, so he's high off his horse, you know. It's stupid to get offended by what, you know, the bigger problem is with Charlie Sheen about, you know, just the fact that he's high right now, obviously off of something.
Right. So throwing those words around doesn't offend you as a Wiccan?
If it was like someone in their, you know, 2 cent right mind, you know, throwing shit around like that.
Easy.
Throwing stuff around, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, but he's not. So you have to give the guy some leeway.
Okay. All right, last question for you. What do you think about Christian Day, who calls himself a warlock, by the way, in this ceremony that he performed in Salem, Massachusetts over the weekend to get Sheen right? And by the way, how do you send him ideas directly into his head via light? How does that work?
I don't know about that one. But I just, as said by the previous caller, you're not supposed to, you know, do any blessings or anything for anybody without, you know, saying, you know, hey, do you want this? And it being given. It's like, in theory, I kind of consider it like the people who, you know, pray for you or something when they, you know, are Christians or something.
Mm-hmm. It's just, gotcha.
Could it be that Christian Day is to Wiccans what, like, Jerry Falwell was to Christians? Just a guy who's just a big mouthpiece out there trying to get some attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just, he just obviously is also, I mean, give us a good name, man. I mean, really.
Yeah, it's got hard enough to be a witch, let alone have somebody out there speaking for you doesn't really represent what you believe, I can imagine.
All right, well, this may not be officially a scientific survey, but in the small sampling of Wiccans that we've talked to here on the Kevin and Bean Show today, they're not especially offended by Charlie Sheen.
No, they're not.
It sounds like.
No.
All right, good times. Eli, thank you very much for the call. Happy Wicca Day or whatever
what?
It is. I don't know. There's that band that sings that song on 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. It's 7:23.
You should have never trusted Hollywood. The most loneliest day of my life. Oh, yeah. Everybody's going to the party. Have a real good time.
Psycho groupie, cocaine crazy. Psycho groupie, go. The spider's all in tune. Righteous suicide. The toxicity of our city.
They are back, ladies and gentlemen. System of a Down. With a whole bunch of tour dates, especially up and down the West Coast, we could not be more delighted to welcome John, the drummer for the band, and apparently Shavo just now walking in. Yep. So we got a double dose of system right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Headphones on, so what are we clapping about?
Yeah, we're here, clapping about you, man.
I just walked in.
Where's my Burger King?
Huh? What Burger King, dude?
We heard. Let's get all those mics on, please, Muggs. We heard Burger King right after Burger the interview. King, we heard Burger you got to hang on. You got to hang on for Burger King.
You know what? You have to suffer sometimes.
Shavo, you all right? You all right, man? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Please stop talking to Lightning and look over here.
Oh, my seat was like I was at a what?
That's him.
In the camera.
Oh, hey.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
All right. This isn't the smooth professional start I was hoping for, but welcome, System of a Down, to the Kevin and Bean Show. Nice to see you guys. Yeah. Now, it's been a long time. It's been a long time. What up?
How long has it been? 5 years.
Five years?
Five years.
What? Wow. You have to fill us in. I mean, I was saying a few minutes ago before you guys arrived. I was saying there are a few bands that are core for us that we love, and it's a huge deal for us when a new record comes out. And when bands like yours and bands like Rage Against the Machine, for instance, go away, there's a big hole in our heart, man. We can't go on. It's tough for us.
Don't say those things, because there's a big hole in my heart, too, when we go away.
Isn't there a song called Hole in My Heart?
No. I think there is, yeah. So take us back 5 years.
5 years.
The last year you guys were recording and together, you had two number one albums that year. It was one of your biggest years yet. And then all of a sudden you just vanished into the ether. What happened?
Okay.
Good explanation.
I just want to give you the right explanation, because a lot of people have come up with their own interpretations of what happened to us. And, you know, what happened to us was, I mean, dude, we've been a band since 93, 94, you know? And, it got to a level where, you know, it took us 4 or 5 years to get signed. Once we got signed, our album came out in 98. And then, you know, in 2001, we had, you know, Chop Suey came out. You guys blew us up at the Best Buy show. I remember that. Uh-huh. And so we kind of grew up together and became like, you know, everyone always says married couple. I don't want to say married couple, like brothers, you know? And sometimes you have to step back.
Married brothers.
You know, yeah, in order to step forward. And, I mean, I love every member of this band. And this is Shavo talking, by the way. And I'm sure everybody agrees. It's just, you know, we all had certain things that we wanted to do in music, because we've been together for so long that we were just kind of pigeonholed, as in that, like, if you're not doing System, and we're still there, like, if you're not doing System of a Down, then it's not good. And that's not cool, because, you know, we all love art. We're artists. We're musicians. You know, I paint. You know, Serge has, like, a bunch of stuff he's doing. He's got books. Mm-hmm. You know, Darren writes music like it's you know, like changing underwear. He's like a genius when he does that. You know, John has his stuff. I have my stuff. I did the stuff with RZA. I did the website. You know, I got married.
I get all that. I totally get A, you need a personal life, and B, you have other artistic interests.
Yeah,
I think the surprise, though, is that when you have something as awesome as System of a Down, something that you all clearly so love so much, that you stay away from it for that long. I think that's what surprised people. Yeah, take a break, go off, do something else, come back in a year, 2 years maybe. But when it gets to be five, that's when people are like, dude.
If you want to have real longevity, you have to take those kind of breaks on occasion. You know, bands that take a break for a year or 2 years, sometimes that's not even a break, because let's say, for instance, you want to do something else artistically and you go out and you make an album, you know, like we did with Scars. That takes 2 years.
Yeah.
Right. And then you tour on it. That takes another year. You know, so where's your break? You know, sometimes I took a break for a solid year where I didn't even touch my drum set. You know, I've been playing drums for 22 years. Wow. I needed a break from my drums.
That's unusual, though, isn't it, for drummers?
I don't know if that's unusual. I think it's you do what's usual for you and what works for you.
I agree.
And then you come back to it with more passion and love. Other than that, it can become a job. And I promised myself when I was a kid, when I first started playing drums, that if it ever became a job, then I would move on to something else.
Or you would step back, you know?
No, I would move on.
John, when you were out with Scars on Broadway, which was a very successful side project for you, were there times where you thought System's not going to get back together?
There was never a time that I thought System would not get back together.
Interesting.
I always knew that we would get back together. I didn't know when it would happen, and I wasn't sure if we would still be able to play at that point, because we could have been 70.
We're getting old.
Shavo, did you even after it got to be a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, did you always know that the band would get back together?
You know what? Honestly, yes.
How but about that? That's very interesting
but
to
what
me.
What you said before, where mm-hmm. you said 2 years, fine. 5 years, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I'm in the same place. And I'm going to be honest. I expected 2-3 years. I didn't expect 5. But you know what? If it takes 5, if it takes 7, you know what I mean? As long as we got to where we're at right now, and, you know, we can look at each other and smile, and when, you know, like we had rehearsal last night, and there was a moment we're playing one of the songs, and I looked at John and Darren, and they both looked at me and smiled. It was that moment, you know, I felt that energy that we have in front of, when we played in front of 100,000 kids. Like, I felt that in that little room.
And then we had a three-way kiss. The music
still speaks to you, right? Did you keep in touch with one another throughout this period?
Yeah.
Like, you know, would the phone ring sometimes, and it would be Darren, or it would be Serge, and they would be, hey, guys, what are you up to? You just wanted to say hi.
Well, we always kept in touch, especially for, like, Christmas, birthdays, that type of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, but...
John and I kept in touch a little bit. Darren and I never lost touch. We kind of did for a while he was doing Scars.
We also all were very busy doing things.
Yeah.
Right. And taking space from somebody doesn't necessarily mean they're out of your lives. You know, we were in each other's lives in varying degrees, but you do need to take space from each other.
John and I almost had a brawl at a casino once in Vegas because...
Yeah. Well, I don't know about a brawl.
Not like
I'm a very sensitive person.
Not physical, but... Okay, should I tell the story?
It's go ahead, hilarious. Tell the story.
Okay, so I'm in Vegas, right? I'm there with my family and my mom, my dad. You know, no, when I go to Vegas, I don't leave, you know? I don't leave. So I'm there with my fiancé at the time. And so I'm sitting there gambling, and I'm doing pretty well. All of a sudden, John comes because he lives in Vegas, right? And I'm like, hell yeah, John. He goes, you and I got to talk. I'm like, what? And I know
this is 3:30 in the morning.
3:30. And I'm going, but wait, I'm like doing good. And I could tell with the glimmer in his eyes, the little spark that he had a couple of...
Cocktails,
you know? Yeah. I want to call it that. You know,
half a bottle of whiskey.
Half a bottle. So he's like, "You and I gotta talk." He pulled me off the table. I'm like, "I'm not doing this right," you know. And that's when we actually made up everything that we thought that the other person was thinking.
No, nah, what it really was, because you don't remember.
Okay, sorry.
There is going to be a brawl.
I
was in the whiskey haze. He doesn't remember. He came to Vegas.
Haze.
And didn't call me. I find that to be disrespectful.
That's what it was. That's right.
Yeah. See, okay. You can't even remember.
Plus, you were there for 20 days. Didn't call.
Yeah, you give me a call, you take me out to dinner or whatever.
No 20 days.
Exactly.
Anyway, I'm still mad at you over that.
Hey, man, I apologize, but I said I'm not having this fight in the lobby of the Hard Rock. I'm not doing this. There's cameras.
You don't take a man off a hot table either, by the way, John. I'm sorry.
I could have saved him.
No.
He was just about to turn.
But you didn't.
All right, stand by. Shavo is here. John is here from System of a Down. We couldn't be more delighted. So many great shows coming up, and we want to find out the scope of this tour and what is next for the band.
Owe me a kickdown on that.
Including Mountain View, by the way, Shoreline Amphitheater. Tickets available now for that show May 15th. The Forum just announced May 24th. Tickets are on sale this Saturday at 10. San Diego at the Cricket Wireless Amphitheater just announced. Tickets on sale Friday at 10. And lots of other dates up and down the country, the continent. I mean, we got you covered. Systemofdown.com for all the dates. And we'll talk more with our guys when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean. We're the station everyone can agree on at work. System of a Down on 106.7 K-Rock, KROQ. It is 7:41. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Shavo Odadjian is in the studio with us. John Dolmayan. They are bass and drums for that band right there, System of a Down, who are back, ladies and gentlemen, after a little bit of time away.
We're back.
Forum on May 24th. Tickets on sale this Saturday at 10. San Diego's Cricket Wireless Theater. Tickets also on sale this Friday at 10. Other dates, including Seattle, where I may have to come see you guys.
Definitely.
And, of course, the Bay Area at the Shoreline Amphitheater on sale now. The Forum is a big deal. Even for a band like you that's been around for a long time, there's still something magic about playing a show at the Great Western Forum, right?
Oh, there's a history to it.
Come on.
I saw one of my first shows there, Rush, back in the Presto
Sweet.
Tour.
Nice.
Yeah.
I played at the Forum basketball when I was
in third grade. How did that happen?
With the Lakers back in the day.
No, honestly, in the 80s.
Shavo Abdul.
The private school that me, Darren, and Serge went to, that we never really knew each other there, but the history tells so that we were there. Anyways, in third grade, they had this program where the basketball team gets to play the Forum before the Lakers play. And I'm talking about Magic Johnson days, Kareem, Cooper,
Sweet.
Jamal Wilkes, all those guys, right? Rambis. Sweet. And so I got to play for 15 minutes
at the Forum.
At the Forum, right before the Lakers.
Slam dunk contest.
We opened up. I didn't even get the ball, but I ran back and forth.
And you'll never forget that as long as you live, right? That's imprinted on your brain.
Heck no.
Because you're on that court. Hey, how old were you then, Shamov?
105.
What's third and fourth grade? How old are you when you're in third grade?
20.
Is that like 8 or 9? Something like
well,
that?
Well, I was like 12.
I don't know. I was like 20.
I was just wondering how long your beard was back then.
It had just started fuzzing out. No, but I was like 7, I guess, 7 or 8.
Your facial hair is a commitment, though, man. That is something that you must take very seriously. Yeah, and you keep growing it back again, though.
Well, I heard Systems coming back.
It's like a lizard. No, you're a lizard, man.
Like when I played with Scars, Scars had a couple of shows, and then they asked me to play because, I mean, those are my boys, you know, Derek, sure. John, and the rest of the guys. And it was fun to play guitar because I was first a guitar player. And, you know, so I just shaved it off. I said, you know, this is a new identity because I got tired of being known as that guy. That's ball with a goatee, you know?
Sure, I got that. Speaking of guitar, and I don't want to – we have a lot of System business we want to cover, but I have to ask, just because I'm such a huge fan, tell me about working with Dr. Funkenstein. Tell me about playing guitar for freaking George Clinton.
That must be unreal. I played guitar and bass and sang for him, too, at one point. RZA actually – okay, I was making a beat at the house. It was like, I don't know, afternoon, and I get a phone call from New York. I didn't want to answer it. I answered it. Long story short, it was George Clinton, and he's like – and I can do his impression – okay.
Okay.
And I don't want to do it right now because it's too early in the morning.
You but said you could do it. Now you're not doing it.
Right. Okay.
Anyway, this is how we talk. Right. So he was like, so I heard you're doing this thing called The Chosen. And I'm like, who the hell is this? And he goes, this is George Clinton. I'm like, isn't that George Clinton? And I'm like, who's screwing with me, you know? And anyway, like 3, 4, 5 minutes later, I realize it's actual George Clinton because I can hear RZA in the back. They're calling from New York going, he's tripping, isn't he? He's tripping. So now I'm pacing around the house talking to George Clinton. Next thing you know, I tell him, come to my house. I'm making this album called The Chosen, which has like John Frusciante, you know, members of the Wu-Tang, you know, George Clinton and stuff. Anyways, not to pump that. But
no, but I just, here's what I love, Shavo, is that no matter how long you've been in the business and no matter how popular your own band is, musicians still have heroes. You still have idols.
Oh, my God.
Somebody like George Clinton comes on the line and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm talking to you.
I was shaking. I was stuttering. I mean, I'm not joking. Like, I did not believe it. And then when he was over, when he came over, actually, it was every time we hang out, it's still a trip.
That's sweet.
And
that's
we've been friends. And I've played with P-Funk as... You know, I took Bootsy's place for like 5, 6 shows on tour. That's such an honor.
What a rush.
I can't even, like, I just got chills talking about it. And people are like, but you're the guy from System of a Down. I'm like, but that's P-Funk, dude. Like, are you kidding me?
P-Funk wins, right?
You also have to understand that for us, we don't really look at our band as being a tremendous band or anything. We're just in the band and we're along for the ride.
Man. We're musicians.
Yeah, I know. And I've heard you say that before, John, that basically, you know, you blew up and it blew up for everyone else. For you guys, it's the same, right? You're still the same, you know, same guys out there on stage playing the music that you love and, you know, everything else is kind of out of your control.
We'll see that part of it is also that it was gradual. It didn't just happen overnight for us.
Right.
You know, there was a long process and we were a band that didn't hit radio right away or MTV right away. It was a long process for us.
I remember the first time I ever heard Sugar, we played it. And honestly, at the time, I had never heard anything like it. I mean, it was so different. Jed played it first. Yeah, yes. It was so different from anything that else was on the radio. I was like, what is the deal with these guys? Why is that big man yelling at me? That was dipping the toe into what became one of my favorite bands.
Thank you.
Let's talk about System of a Down 2011. Now, you mentioned you've been rehearsing. Obviously, you've got how many shows are already scheduled? I know they keep unveiling new ones all the time, but there's a bunch of them so far.
Something like 20 shows.
Yeah.
20 shows. Okay, that's a real commitment.
It's a commitment. Yeah. Not really. I mean, we'd like to commit to about 300 shows, me and Shavo. But
me and no, John and I are, you know, like
we don't want to stop touring. That's the way we are. You know, and not everybody has that philosophy, so we have to respect what everybody in the band wants to do.
Yeah, it's got to work for everybody's schedule, of course. The billion-dollar question.
20 shows is a lot, though.
You get asked everywhere you go, and every time you bring up System, is obviously people want to know what's the future in terms of new music from the band.
Well,
is that something you've talked about?
We haven't really gone into that. We're looking at it more like we just want to go out and have a good time playing on the road again. Our last tour, which was, 2006?
Yeah.
Ozzfest. We had a great time. It was one of the best tours. We just enjoyed it. There was no pressure. And that's kind of how we want to live our lives now. No pressure, not really mm-hmm. thinking about something that's a year away, 2 years away. We just want to go out and have a good time and reconnect and be on the stage together and share it together. We haven't done that in 5 years, so that's what we're really looking forward to.
And it feels really, really great to be able to say we're playing in L.A. again. Because,
yeah.
I mean, this is where
we all lived.
We all came up. I remember our first show, May 28th, 1995, at the Roxy. I can never forget that moment, you know? And
you begged and begged and begged them to let you play there.
Dude, I was looking at a bank, and you know the story.
Yeah, you were calling them up, going, hey, come on, I got a band. Let me play.
Bam, hang up. But I was still called. Anyways, enough said about that. It's just we're back, and I love it. And, you know, I've gotten into the Twitter world, like, which I didn't even know how to turn a computer on back in the day. And now I'm like,
I follow you on Twitter and took great joy to see how upset you were that the Steelers lost because I hate them so much.
I was going crazy.
Well, they won six Super Bowls, guys. Come on.
I know they did. Look, they're fine. They're fine.
It's not like my team, the Bills, who have lost.
All right, listen, boys, we're out of time.
On May 24th.
Yes, you are.
That's what we're here for, to pump real quick.
Tickets are on sale Saturday at 10 for the Forum to see System of a Down. Who's opening for you, by the way?
Who is opening for us, dude?
Google Bordello.
Oh, okay. Nice. There you go.
That's cool.
That's a crazy live show, too.
One thing that I do want to say is how incredible it is, after 5 years of us being gone, the reaction of our fans.
Oh, dude. It's
really touching, and it's humbling to know that people are that passionate about our music. And
well, we are, man. I'm telling you. It was the best news ever when we heard y'all were coming back, and we can't wait to see what's next in the next chapter of System of Down. John, Chavo, thank you so much for coming in. Now head on out and get some Burger King, guys.
Thank you.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Follow System of Down at System of Down on Twitter, and follow us, too, if you want to know any new, what's happening in the future.
Follow Chavo. I never post anything.
Anyways.
Good times. Thanks, boys.
Yeah. This is the Kevin Avine Show, Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in. Ralph is here one more time for the Showbiz Beat. What's happening, Ralph?
Before I get to Showbiz News, how about some more passes to the red carpet world premiere of The Lincoln Lawyer, starring Matthew McConaughey? It all happens at the ArcLight Theater in beautiful downtown Hollywood, California.
What's this movie about, by the way, Ralph? I have not heard much about Lincoln Lawyer.
About a lawyer.
Okay.
Who works in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Gotcha.
I have no idea. No, apparently McConaughey plays an ambulance chaser type, fast and loose with the law, slick lawyer type, who gets paid a lot of money to represent a client that he believes is innocent, and then later perhaps learns some disturbing truths about his client.
Interesting.
And has a crisis of conscience.
I like those legal dramas. And he's a lawyer with his shirt off, too, though, right?
Oh, he's got abs. Boy, does he have abs. If you'd like to see The Lincoln Lawyer at the special red carpet world premiere, first two callers you get through right now, 1-800-520-1067. You will be the winner. If you don't win, don't worry about it, because it's in theaters everywhere Friday the 18th of March. You can check it out. Then, sad news today. We found out yesterday that former Alice in Chains bassist Mike Starr passed away. Come on, Bean.
No, it's very sad.
TMZ.com says, according to police, his body was found in his Salt Lake City home yesterday afternoon. Salt Lake was also the location of his arrest last month for felony possession of a controlled substance. Mike was just 44 years old, appeared on the third season of Celebrity Rehab back in 2009, and we were led to believe was winning his battle against drug addiction, but it looks like he had pretty bad relapse, and sad news.
He's had a terrible 20 years. I mean, he got kicked out of Alice in Chains. He got kicked out of a band that Layne Staley was allowed to stay in because his drug use was so bad. That shows you where he came from. So, yeah, it's very, very sad. And I just fell in love with the dude on Celebrity Rehab. And then when he showed up earlier, you know, this past season and showed, hey, I've been clean for 6 months and you can do it too, I was just so optimistic that he had beaten it. So, it really is, that's tough news.
We all know Bean's a freak, but it turns out he may not be unique. Stars that have animals on their farm, from Us Weekly magazine. The article reads, these are other celebrities that have animals on their farm. Now, you know, Bean loves his animals. And when I say loves his animals.
No, that's not what you mean at all.
Loves his animals.
No, that's not true. No.
That's Bean making that noise early in the morning. Nicole Kidman has alpacas Alpacas are some form of goat?
They're llama-like.
Llamas?
Really is, yeah, llama-like. They're beautiful animals.
Oh, they're gorgeous. And when bean means they're beautiful animals, even if they're beautiful.
No, I don't know. There's a lot of alpacas on the island. I see them all the time.
She's got a place in Nashville, I guess, with Keith Urban, and they raise alpacas on their property. Zach Galifianakis has dairy goats at his farm in North Carolina. Okay. Russell Crowe has 500 head of cattle in his home in Australia.
That's serious.
He kicks your ass, Bean.
Yeah. Look, if you've got 500, that means you're raising them for meat, though.
Yeah.
I'm interested in that.
Meat. Reese Witherspoon has donkeys. She has two donkeys. The donkeys' names are Honky and Tonky. Honky and Tonky Donkey. F you, Reese Witherspoon. So hard. F you.
My donkey's name is Happy, by the way.
Yeah, I know. F you too while we're at it. Charlie Sheen, I guess, won't be sending any Christmas cards to his former co-star, John Cryer. Yesterday, he pretty much went off on his buddy John there, saying that John was a troll. Like I said, you're with me or you're with the trolls? Obviously, he's with the trolls when asked if he had been in contact with John Cryer. He added, when I'm starring in multi-million dollar films and he's begging me for a supporting role, I'll say, you left me out in the cold. He's a turncoat, a traitor, a troll. Hmm. He's clearly a troll, he added. Do you think he thinks he's a troll? I can't get that from what he's saying.
Yeah. I think it might have been nice for John Cryer, a guy who's worked alongside Charlie Sheen for 8 years, to pick up the phone and call. But I think it's more on Charlie Sheen that he didn't call everybody involved with 2.5 Men and say, hey, sorry, I'm such an F-up.
Yeah. He should have been ringing their doorbells with fruit baskets in his hands.
Absolutely.
He was a pussy.
Oh, come on.
Charlie's got no friends left, does he? Except for the guys he pays to hang out with.
He's got the hanger-ons. He's got that Chinese dude who doesn't say anything and the black guy with the baseball bat. Today's celebrity birthdays, Linda Fiorentino is 53 years old today. 30 Seconds to Mars drummer Shannon Leto is 41. Emmanuel Lewis, he was Little Webster on Webster. He's 40 years old now. Kerr Smith is 39 years old. Chingy, 31. Bow Wow is 24. And actress Brittany Snow, she's 25 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're listening to the Kevin Beach on a Wednesday. Hey, don't forget, April Foolishness is happening April the 2nd at the Gibson Amphitheater, Universal City, California. Great lineup again this year. Our friend Patton Oswalt is going to be on the bill. Jay Moore, Ray Romano, Jim Jeffries, Bill Burr, Steve-O, Doug Benson, The Axis of Awesome, Jimmy Kimmel, of course, and his house band from the TV show Cleto and the Cletones. Tickets go on sale for street team members tomorrow at 10 a.m. Proceeds benefiting the Wounded Warrior Project. Ralph, who's missing from this lineup? I can't. I'm taking a look at all the names of all of our friends from the show. Who's
get
not
it
on?
Off!
Oh,
get it off!
Can't
do the show. Gotta get it off.
Get it off.
Get it off.
Woo! So, Ace Man, you hate veterans? What's going on here? You don't want to raise any money for the goddamn Wounded Warriors? Is that what's happening here?
Let's really examine Warrior. You know, some of those guys were in the rear with the gear. They got some food poisoning. And by the way, you step on a landmine. That's on you.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean? That's like that's,
bad planning.
It's the walking equivalent to you driving over the spike strips the wrong direction out of a parking lot. When am I supposed to come by and buy a new set of Michelins?
No, sir. No,
you did
not. That's right.
Well, I didn't drop you on a landmine.
You're absolutely right.
That was your volition, buddy. You should have been looking down. Head in the clouds, singing a Pat Boone song. You know
like
what
they
I mean?
Do?
Pow!
Yeah. So, in Adam Carolla's defense, when we've done April Foolishness in the past, and the charity has been to, you know, save women's boobies from cancer, he's right there. He's Johnny on the spot. He's first guy on stage. All of a sudden, now we switch up the charities. Adam's not interested anymore.
Well, again, let's get back to the landmine thing. Did they throw booby on a landmine?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, then, all right. Then they're victims.
They are victims.
Just call a victim there. You know what I'm saying?
I suspect that Adam is actually working somewhere else that night because he does seem to work 8 days a week. And I don't know how that you're surviving the schedule to have kids at home as young as yours and still be able to be in every city in America every month, Adam.
It is it actually works out nicely because A, you get to not see them as much as you'd like, and then that makes you like them because otherwise they're a nuisance.
Right.
You know how your parents thought you were a nuisance growing up, Bean?
Yes.
And then later on, that just sort of transferred over to your wife.
That's how it works.
And
right, exactly.
Most of the livestock that is currently what you call menagerie. this is actually nice. You get home and they want to see you, except for you realize I talk to them every night before, you know, their bedtime. And I do that, you know, daddy says he loves you. And then they just give me a long list of crap they want me to bring home from them.
Right.
I want a Dora the Explorer thing. And I want a Cinderella thing. That's the dude, by the way. I already know he's going to be gay.
You do.
I made my peace with it.
You're okay with
it? I'm just praying he's not a bottom. I'm adjusting because there is worse news. There's a basement to gay.
Yeah.
And the point is this. I had this idea, and I want to put it out there to your listeners, and it's real easy because every time it's the same schedule. They go, bring me this, bring me that. I want this Disney character. I want that. I want Rapunzel. I want everything else. And then you go to the – but you leave at 6 a.m. The shuttle picks you up Sunday morning. You go straight to the airport. I don't know where the Toys R Us is in Denver, for instance. And even if there is one, I'm not going to get in a cab ride and go searching around Sunday morning for that place.
Right.
The airport has, you know, 10 Cinnabons and 15 bars and 5 places you can get nachos. How about one place just called Loser Dad? It's on the other side of security.
Right.
Every beleaguered, traveling, you know, businessman dad, guilty dad would just show up. You'd walk in and you'd go like, how much for that Winnie the Pooh pillow? And the guy would go, $1,300? And you go, all right.
Yeah.
And that'd be
whatever
it
costs.
That'd be it. We could all be rich for you. We don't need another yogurt shop.
Right.
That's a over
great
there.
Idea.
Loser
no, you're right.
Dad.
Adam Carolla is here. Let me tell you about his busy schedule, and he will have This Week in Rage for us in a few minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. Not only are you playing the Wiltern on Saturday, May 21st, not only are you at the Grove of Anaheim on Sunday, May 22nd, but you're tonight going to be at the John Lovitz Comedy Club, Ralph's Stomping Grounds at Universal City Walk, with special guest Bobcat Goldthwait. Tell me about that.
Well, Bob is a real good director. And Bob is going to come in, and we're actually going to break down some of the old Man Show bits he directed.
You're going to break down some film?
We're going to break some film down, and then we're going to get a hand in. Yeah.
That's awesome. Bob is so funny. So that's going to be a great show tonight at the John Lovitz Comedy Club, Universal City Walk. That's at 8 o'clock tonight. You can get all the tickets on all the shows that I've discussed at adamcarolla.com. And when's the book coming out in paperback, by the way, Ace?
Sometime in May, I should think. Yeah, somewhere around May with the bonus chapter and all that good stuff. Oh, and I saw Drive Angry yesterday with Bill Simmons. So look out. I will say this. Not worth the matinee bargain price at the Arclight Hollywood of $17.
But you get to choose your seat.
Way. Oh, you get to choose your
seat. No, for Drive Angry, you probably got to get there early.
You get to choose your row, your latitude, your longitude. Me and Bill were the only two human beings. 2:15 showing yesterday for Drive Angry. We got to sit wherever we want. I wish I had more than one ass. I did not know where to put it. Walked around.
$17 for a matinee.
$17 for a matinee. For Drive Angry, by the way. You can't
right.
speak. Maybe, but this.
They really should charge by the movie, really, instead of just a flat fee.
I think prostitutes work that way. You know?
That's right. The hot ones.
Yeah.
You got to pay a lot for the hot ones.
You've seen the Hookers on the Brink or whatever that show is.
That's right.
Yeah.
On the point or whatever.
I love those guys, and I want to hang out with just one of those Johns where they get in the car, the car's all mic'd up, and the guy says, how about a little oral? And she goes, how about $20? And he goes, whoa, you got to do better than that. Like, really? I tipped a town car guy $20 when I go to the airport. I like the guy's insulted. Baby, you got to do me better than that.
You're pointing the inflated opinion of yourself, young lady.
What'd you think? You were going to get paid to receive oral? Like, okay, $3. All right, a cup of coffee. You're right. Whatever.
It's like a juicy fruit.
Whatever it's going to take to get the Sun Chips out of the vending machine. That's how much.
Keep up with
insulted.
AceMan@AdamCarolla.com. He is here, as he is on Wednesdays, with This Week in Rage. We'll return with that right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Every Wednesday means the Ace Man stops by with This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
All right, starting with three, working my way down to number one, real cornucopia going on. I got some range in my rage this week.
You're rangy. I've always said you're rangy.
First off,
Listen, gangs that are listening with your gang initiation, they're all the same. The one guy gets in the middle, he gets in a fetal position, and the 20 guys beat the crap out of him. Yep. And then 5 minutes later, he gets up, and he's a Southside lowrider. This is not practical at all, because when you go into battle, you want a bunch of guys getting in a fetal position behind you, waiting to get kicked?
That's their default position? Is
I'm just saying. It's not like... First off, my grandfather could be in your gang. All you got to do is sneak up on him and beat the crap out of him. By your definition, Stephen Hawking can be in your gang. We'll spill him out of his wheelchair. We'll kick him for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And if his heart is still beating at the end of it, he's a Crip or he's a
Give
blood.
Give him a 40 and a buff.
You can find bums that are asleep at the park. And there's nobody. I got my four-year-old twins. They can be in your gang. Everybody who can lie on the ground in a fetal position while you kick them is tough enough to be in your gang. I'm
Good
saying...
Point.
I want to see a guy can throw a punch. That's my whole thing. Let's have him kick a little ass. I want to
see. You're not proving anything as to why you're worthy if all you're doing is getting kicked in the head.
All we know is that you're dumb, and now you're a little bit dumber because I just kicked you in the back of the head with a hirachi. I'm just saying, when it goes down, when we throw down with the Jets or whoever, you know, the Knights or whatever, we're doing it
with. Are we
in
a gang in the 1950s?
Whatever, when it's time to throw down and I go, come on, boys, let's get them. I don't want to turn around and see a bunch of guys sucking their own you-know-what in a fetal position. I want guys fists in the air, baby.
So you're looking for better recruitment policies is what you're looking for.
Well, again, would the Army, the Navy, the Marines work this way? Hey, lie on the ground. Let's kick you for 5 minutes. All right, no. You're in. You can be a Marine.
You want street gang boot camp.
Yes. This is they're literally, they have their
something
own
about
boot
a,
camp.
Something about a gang doesn't make sense. I do find that hard to believe, but I think you're onto something.
I want
to
see what a guy can do with his fists, not with his ass crack. Thank you. Or possibly both. Thank you. All right. Making gangs better, one broadcast at a time. Also, back to the airport, the faucets, and not only that, the airport now. I had one in the dressing room where I just got back from Miami. It was in the dressing room. The sink that has the sensor in it, with mm-hmm. the you got the single donkey dong that's hanging down with the one red eyeball.
Right.
And then you just sit there like a retarded mime, like just like, huh? Can we get it going? Can I get it?
It's more hygienic, so you're not turning the same handles other people have
touched. I know, but I can't activate it. And when I do activate it, I get one shot. I get one pssst of water, and then we're done. That's it. I've washed my... How could this... And then when you're at the sink, when you go to the airport, you do the thing, you're waving your hand. Like, hey, I got to activate this thing. It doesn't activate. You go to the sink next to it. Then it fires off. Then you run back to it. Then you get the soap going, and you think, all right, I've worn this one out. Like, I've outstayed my welcome on this particular... So I'm going to go with a handful of suds to the sink next to me and fire... And then the toilet. It has completely eliminated the courtesy flush.
Yes.
The magic eye has have you tried this, Tammy? Where you lean forward,
Lisa.
Okay. The point I'm on a roll, Bean. The point is this: you try that thing where you lean forward on the pot and do the arm wave behind you. You know, I'm going to activate this thing.
Never tried that.
Or you try to fake it out, like, "Well, I'm done here. My work is done here. I don't care to wipe my tuchus. I'm just going to get up, and put my pants on, see if I can clear the red eye zone and get it to flush." It has eliminated the courtesy flush. I can't figure out. Can you trust us with the handles? That's all I'm saying. And I want more than one of water. I don't want a shot from a seltzer bottle. Yeah. I want a continuous stream for three Mississippi. At least the three Mississippi. Not just one, psh, you done? Has anyone ever said, whoa, way too much water for me to wash my hands? Psh. All right, I'm just saying. Let's get rid of that stupid light and especially remove the one from the toilet and remove the one from the urinal, because the urinal makes people soft, because some have it, some don't, and that's why there's that frothy pot waiting for you when you go to the one that has the handle on it, because everyone assumes it's got the automatic eyeball on it.
All right.
Where the hell was I? Number one, Drive Angry.
Back to Drive Angry, Driving the Nick Cage angry. Movie.
All right. Nick's hair is not to be missed. And Nick, obviously. By the way, forget about Charlie Sheen. Let's 5150 Nick and his hairdresser, because there's something going on over there. But I will say this about Driving Angry. It's one of those things. And spoiler alert, but I do want to say this. He's like, it's like a lot of guys that can't be killed. They're coming from hell and whatever's going on. They're demons, but still, if you shoot them, they go man, but they can't be killed. And it's sort of like, you see the commercial for that I Am Number 4 one where it's like, I have to flip over this speeding cop car that's coming at me with my hand,
yes.
Or I'll stop a freight train with my hand using my magical powers. I have enough power to do that, but I have to lean into it. I got to strain just a little bit. Why are you straining? You put your hand up, a cop car goes flying over your head. You really feel like you got to hunker down? Like if you weren't wearing tennis shoes, like if you're wearing loafers, a cop car would have ran you over. Even Superman is going to be like, I got to lift this continent, but I got to really bend at the knee for this because I'm going to grunt just a little bit. It's like you're at the combines and you're putting up your 25th rep at 225. Like, come on. Push it out. Lift Brazil. Come on. Change the bend the course of a mighty river. Turn the Earth's rotation. But they strain all the time. And all I'm saying is either you can be killed or you can't. Either you can throw your hand up and stop a freight train or you can't. But either way, it doesn't hurt. And you shouldn't have to strain to stop a freight train. And it sends a dangerous message to all the kids who are going to go on train tracks and go, if I just lean into this, stop this Amtrak. Yes.
I can't believe there's a Nicolas Cage plot point that doesn't make sense out of it. That's shocking to me.
It really did happen. It finally happened, Bean.
AdamCarolla.com is where you go for all the information on the fine family of podcasts, live shows, including the Wiltern May 22nd, the Grove of Anaheim May 22nd, 21st and 22nd, and more importantly, tonight at the John Lovitz Comedy Club, Universal City Walk, with special guest Bobcat Goldthwait. That sounds like a lot of fun. AdamCarolla.com. Ace Man, thanks a lot for coming in, dude. Good to see you.
Yeah.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, tomorrow on the program, one of our all-time favorites, Jay Moore, joins us in studio. Looking forward to that. We got more tickets you can win to Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. And author Tracy McMillan is going to be on tomorrow. Lisa, you're going to want to listen to this. She has written a book called Why You're Not Married. So that's going to be for you. That's all tomorrow.
Thank you, Bean.
Right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, time for a brand new internet roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing.
Cut the intro.
What? What? What's going on? What's happening?
I'm breaking in with breaking news.
Yes?
We'll do the internet roundup another time.
Ooh. Okay, that's fine. What's going on, Ron?
Because right now we have to talk to the legendary Gary Busey.
Yes!
Gary Busey's on the phone.
No way!
Gary's on the phone.
Awesome.
Celebrity Apprentices Gary Busey joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is huge. Gary.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah.
All right.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, thank you for calling.
First and foremost, I'd like to say how big of a fan I have been for years, and I'm so glad to finally be on the Soylent Green Show.
It's Kevin and Bean, but that's okay. We'll take it.
Gary, have you heard us talking about you this week, talking about how we heard that you'd phoned in earlier in the week and how upset we were that they didn't put you immediately on the air?
Well, I truly understand. I am Gary Busey. The phone has stopped ringing as much as it used to, but I have been hearing little birds here and there telling me about this K-Rock show and what they've been doing on the K-Rock show.
Yeah, we have been raving about you, Gary. We have been big fans.
It's absolutely 100% true. And my only fear now is that if you don't win Celebrity Apprentice, there'll be no reason to watch it because I'm out once you're not on that show anymore. You're the best thing going on that program.
Well, that's what I've been trying to tell them. Sometimes they'll listen, but sometimes Donald Trump doesn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gary, how active are you these days? How much work are you doing? Are you doing much acting anymore?
I act every day. Every day. If I can find out a character, I'll get out there on the streets, and I'll act around town and entertain the people. But what it is that I've got alien DNA and monkey blood. What that basically means is I can throw my own excrement and then vaporize it.
See, why doesn't this guy have a show?
He needs his own damn show.
They tried to do a show with me with Andy Dick and a couple other people, but It was a little tough for this native Texan to walk around with a fella named Andy Dick.
Yeah. Well, I understand. Yeah.
We've met Andy. It's difficult.
So does it, I mean, you're flying your freak flag proudly, though, Gary. I mean, you are crazy. You admit that, and you love it. It seems like you're having the time of your life with the way you live your life.
I am 106% Gary Busey. All the time, 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I pride myself on doing. And there's been people out there, imitators, there's been fakers, there's been bellyachers. But I'll tell you what, Gary Busey gets up every morning, one leg at a time, just like everybody else.
That's right. When you see a guy like Charlie Sheen, who gets momentary fame from going off the rails a little bit, is it kind of insulting to you that he's biting your act?
I'm the original Charlie Sheen.
That's true.
What few people know is that I taught Charlie Sheen everything he knows. I taught Martin Sheen everything he knows.
Any other Sheens you've touched?
That is true. That is very true.
Gary, why did you decide you wanted to do Celebrity Apprentice this season?
I'll be honest. They said the phone wasn't ringing so much anymore. Mm-hmm. And I thought a chance to work with Michael Jackson was going to be a great opportunity.
Oh, wow. Yeah. What a disappointment.
Ended up being LaToya.
Why is that?
Because it ended up being LaToya, not Michael.
They've been calling him by his African name, LaToya, but I know Michael when I say that.
No, it's his sister, actually, Gary.
Now, I know that there's some things you can't reveal because those episodes haven't aired yet, but who did you find yourself getting close to? Who did you really like on the cast that you enjoyed spending time with?
I'll tell you what, that beautiful, fine, young, delicate lady, David Cassidy, was really nice. But ever since he's been off the show, Jose Canseco wants to spoon every night.
Yeah. Well, he's a big guy. You got to do what he says.
Well, you get lost in those big blue eyes.
Sure. Ralph, is there any fear in your mind that this isn't Gary Busey, that this may be some guy doing an incredible Gary Busey impression?
There wasn't until now.
I'm just wondering, you're the real Oscar-nominated Gary Busey, the actor, right?
I'll tell you, back in 1944, when the Holy Spirit reached into my mother and named me William Gary Busey, there's only been one time that that's happened. And I dropped the William, and it's history ever since.
Yeah. What would you like to do next, now that your profile has been raised yet again with Celebrity Apprentice? Is there any particular job you'd like to have, Gary, that if you could pick your job in Hollywood right now, what would you be doing?
Well, it was real nice working with that Patrick Swayze character and Keanu Reeves. I'd like to do another Point Break.
I think we'd all be down for that.
I think so, too. Utah, give me two. That's a line from the show.
Yes, it is. That's a classic line from that.
Yes, it is. All right. I want it to be Gary, Ralph, but I'm just telling you, I have my doubts.
Really?
I do have my doubts on whether or not it's Gary or not.
Well, if it's not, he's an excellent impersonator.
He's a fantastic Gary Busey, I will tell you that. And I love him so much, I want it to be true.
You're afraid he sounds a little too rational?
Yeah, well, there's a little bit of that, yeah. He's the funniest guy we've had on our show in a month. That's my concern. You know what I mean?
I do.
It sounds like a pro.
Hey,
Gary, how...
Guys a little something.
Yes, please do.
You know, your shadow, I'll say this to Charlie Sheen. Your shadow, the dark side, G.G. Hume writes about it. In terms of the facts that every one of us has a dark side. And my dark side, my shadow, my lower companion is now in the back room blowing up balloons for kids at parties.
All right, now I'm in. It's Gary Busey. Now I'm in. Gary, you got to come in and spend some time with us in studio. We would love so much if you would do that so we could explore more of the mind that is Gary Busey. Do you think your schedule might permit that in the next few weeks?
The next few weeks, like I said, who can reveal what's going to happen on Celebrity Apprentice? Lose is not in my vocabulary. I am a winner. I've always been a winner. And Donald Trump, the first time I met him, he had this beautiful orange aura glowing, floating above his head. And I knew right then that I was going to be a winner. A winner.
Well, that certainly answers my question.
Well, when it's all over, we'll have you on and we'll talk all about it, Gary.
All right. There's a few times that I could be around the station. I've got a laundromat that I frequent quite often, right in your area.
All right. Well, I hope that's true. If it's you, it's an absolute thrill to talk to you on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm so glad you called again, and let's keep in touch. All right, buddy?
Thank you very much. Kevin and Bean, world-famous K-Rock.
All right. Thank you, Gary Busey, right there. All sorts of texts,
emails, tweets coming in about Gary Busey being on the Kevin Bean Show.
Yes, because you ruined it with your
suspicions
and your doubts, and that's why you are not going to be a priest in the Church of Busey like I am, because you do not have faith.
I have faith in the pepperoni prophet! Now, some listeners, like Kim, who listens online in Austin, Texas, says, hey, did anyone point out that Gary Busey's character died in Point Break? Doesn't seem likely the real Gary Busey would be talking about being back in that movie, for instance. Now, that may be nitpicking to expect Gary Busey to remember what happens in every movie he's ever been in.
He doesn't care.
And I think he just wanted to work with Keanu Reeves again, is what he was saying, basically.
And then Token Black Kevin and Bean listener Anel, who I trust his instincts, he's a very smart man, says, that was so Gary Busey, I could totally hear the shattered pieces of dried brain rattling around all over the phone. So he says it is Gary Busey. So you tell me, Ralph. What
it
do
was
you think?
Confirmed by NBC Publicity, by the people who do the publicity for the Celebrity Apprentice, that was Gary.
Well, he's damn funny and ought to have a television show. That's what I'm saying.
Yes. And yes. He should have a radio show is what he should have.
He should have
one. He should have a morning radio show. Gary and Bean. I like it.
You'd like Gary and Ralph even better, by
the way. Well, of course, but look, you take what you can get. You know, I just think we already have one guy who's sort of brain damaged, but not nearly as funny as Gary Busey. So I'm saying, why can't we have the ups as well as the downs?
He was impressive. I gotta give it up to him or Gary Busey or whoever that was.
Stop saying whoever that was. See, this is the kind of seeds of doubt that you plant that spread, and that's why people don't believe us.
I want people to make up their own mind. I'm just throwing it out there that I don't 100% automatically confirm that it was him. Although I want it to be him.
It's been confirmed. We looked at his cell phone number and the cell phone number that NBC Publicity had, and we compared them, and they are identical. So unless there's an impersonator calling from Gary's cell phone, what are the odds of that happening?
Pretty slim.
That's what I'm saying. So stop casting doubt.
All right.
Thank
Internet
you, NBC.
Roundup. Take two, coming up after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
I might break in again. You don't know. I might have Jose Canseco on the line next or something.
With his beautiful blue eyes?
That's right. I might have Nene Leakes on. Who knows? Who's Nene Leakes, by the way? Why is she on that Celebrity Apprentice show?
Dumb. She's
housewife.
A real housewife or something.
She's a real housewife?
Yeah.
All right, good. I don't care for her. Charlie Sheen. Pfiff. I laugh at Charlie Sheen now. When you've talked to the Busey, you recognize the true magic of somebody who's been living that life for organically, the real deal, for a long, long time.
Hey, he told us he's the original Charlie Sheen.
That's right. Sheen's a pretender. But he knows how to capitalize on this attention he's getting. Apparently, Tiger's Blood energy drink is in the works. Anyone? Anyone?
No, not even a little bit.
$4 a pop, they say, when it hits the stores.
The first thing I thought when I saw that he was signing a merchandising deal with Live Nation for T-shirts and products like this is, unless they get him in the stores in the next 6 hours, the shelf life is expired on anything having to do with Charlie Sheen.
Because everybody's had an assful?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I agree. This is a disturbing story. Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown's daughter, Bobby Christina. I don't know if you saw the photos earlier this month that were online, showed her snorting drugs.
Right.
You know, parenting is everything, people. What do you expect? What do you expect the daughter of Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown's daughter to come from?
Houston, we have a problem.
Yes. Now, apparently, there is a freaky, this is a quote from the story, freaky explicit sex tape of Bobby that's being shopped around. MediaTakeout.com said they were approached by someone who wanted to sell them a tape of Bobby having sex. Here's the thing. She just turned 18 over the weekend.
Right.
So odds are, at best, Bobby was 17 when the tape was made.
And by the way, a beautiful mother have no interest in seeing the daughter naked.
None. She is more dad than mom.
Yeah, really. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Hey, Arctic Monkeys. They've got a new track. I don't know if you've heard it this week or not. It's kind of snuck out this week. It's called Brick by Brick.
Good song.
It was posted on the band's YouTube account with a simple video to go along with it. And the track will be on the group's fourth album, which should be out sometime this summer. And the Arctic Monkeys will hit the road in the spring if you want to check them out. Tour kicks off in Washington, D.C. on May the 17th and wraps up on June 3rd here in Los Angeles. But if you're a Arctic Monkeys fan, you should check it out. Brick by Brick is the name of it. And maybe if we have some time in the next hour, we'll play a little piece of it for you. Today's celebrity birthdays, Linda Fiorentino is 53 years old today. 30 Seconds to Mars drummer Shannon Leto is 41. Child actor Emmanuel Lewis, who was Webster on TV, is 40 years old. Gary Smith is 39 years old. You don't get to play that doubter, not true
what?
Believer.
I love
you know,
Gary.
No, you don't get it anymore. You don't get it. No, you don't get that. It's only for the faithful. Kara Smith is 39, Chingy's 31 years old, Bow Wow's 24, and Brittany Snow, lovely and talented actress, is 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the path of beauty!
Hey, let's try this again. It's the Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser, pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that meet your viewing, life so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
We spend all our time on the internet so you don't have to, and then we compile the best new videos of the week, and we put them in one easy-to-find place at KevinAndBean.com. It's the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Dave, the King of Mexico, is in studio. He's the guy who actually spends the time to put these things together, and Dave sees everything. Mm-hmm. And there are some great ones this time. Before we get to the ones with audio, I want to mention a couple of other ones. The cheerleader who goes crazy. Now, this chick is part of a team that has won some sort of a national cheerleading competition. How would you describe, Dave, what we're watching her do? Is it a stroke?
It's a combination of a stroke and headbanging. Like, if Slayer was playing in the background, it would fit right in. She is going nuts.
You've never seen a cheerleader happier, except for some of the movies I see late at night, than you will in this video. But you have to check it out, the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Tell me about Michael Bisping. How did he end up getting punching a guy in a bar, and they have it on video?
Well, after his fight in Australia, he went out, I guess, to celebrate, you know, and get some drinks. And this guy is like, punch me in the stomach. So they trade punches in the stomach. And to give it up to that guy, he takes his punches. I mean, I'm sure Bisping was holding back a little, but he would just lift his arms up and just wham, right in the midsection.
Who goes up to a UFC star in a bar and says, punch me in the stomach? I mean, that's how Houdini died, for God's sake.
A drunk Australian.
Right.
Yeah.
And one other video that I want to mention that doesn't have audio, and I'm serious about this. Lisa May, you have to watch this bike race in Chile. It is one of the most incredible things I've ever seen. There's a guy who has a camera mounted, I assume, on his helmet, Dave, do you think?
Yes.
Or on the handle? Or he's on his
helmet.
Yeah,
on his helmet, because you can see the handlebars.
And this is a crazy mountain bike that is going through a city, and it's going up and down stairs, and it's leaping through the air. And, I mean, you can't believe how tight some of the turns are. And it's about a four-minute ride of this guy on a bicycle. I don't know how he didn't fall down 50 times with the course that he was on. But it is exhilarating. It is absolutely incredible. You
will
feel bad about yourself if you watch this video.
Yeah, it's nuts.
All right, Kevin, I've been in a roundup. Here's a video that I know you're going to love, and she seems to be some sort of a porn star or something. At least she's acting like she's one, and she's holding a snake. Well, the snake decides it's not only going to bite her, it's going to bite her big fake inflatable boob and hang on for dear life. Listen up. And what do you do when you're standing there? You've got a snake hanging onto your breast.
I don't know.
And it's not a little snake either. It's a big snake.
It's a big snake.
It's holding on.
Yeah, you've got to see this video. I couldn't watch the next one when I saw the title, Dave. Please tell me about the elephant hyena arse dinner.
Well, Daniel Tosh showed a clip of it, so I had to find the full video. So this is, you know, a group of scientists or whatever just looking at this elephant on the ground, and a hyena decides that, hey, free meal. And
the elephant is dead, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. And it goes in the only way it can because, you know, elephant skin is pretty tough. So it goes in through his, behind.
Oh, God.
And he goes in, you know?
Oh,
and
God.
Just has dinner.
I'm not
so
watching
that. So he just
that.
Burrows into the back of the elephant and just eats up?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Wow.
But the hyena has found an easy way in.
And show us anything.
The hyena has ripped through the lining of the anus, discharging an explosion of gases in the elephant's guts.
Yeah,
way dear
to
God.
Ruin our whole day.
It's awesome that scientists have the same reaction that we do. They're like, oh.
I don't know why there's a crowd in what looks like a high school gymnasium watching some dudes playing ping pong. It's some sort of organized competition. But a guy wins a ping pong game, and you've never seen a celebration. This guy is acting like he just won the Super Bowl. Listen to this.
Oh, how does it feel to lose the point?
The best part about that, Bean, was he lost the point. So he was down 10-1. So he didn't, win, the
didn't
game.
Win a game.
No, he just got a point.
Oh my god, it's unbelievable. He's got this choreographed dance routine that must be 4 minutes long that he's just mocking. It's hilarious.
Yeah, pretty good.
All right, talking about the Kevin Amin Internet Roundup. You can find it at kevinamin.com. This next one has really been making the rounds the last week. I don't care for it because to me there's no worse sound on earth than babies laughing. I hate it so much. But this baby is having the time of his life. Every time mom or dad rips a piece of paper in front of him, the baby just goes crazy, and I think most of you will like it.
Look at this one.
It's essentially the happiest little baby in the world, so
it's
if you need
so
a pick
awesome,
me up.
Yeah.
How can you not want one?
I don't care for the babies.
Lisa,
you know
9 months. I can give you one.
You're offering to put a baby in her right
I'll put
now?
A baby in her right
Dave.
Now. 9 months.
Alan Simpson, who I believe is a senator from Wyoming, I want to say, he's about 90, and he's talking about the kids today and their rock and their rap music, and he may get some of the names mixed up just a little bit.
They're walking on their pants or their cap on backwards, listening to Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog, and they don't like them.
Okay, I think it may be Eminem and it may be Snoop Dogg, okay?
Snoopy, Snoopy, Poop Dogg.
And finally, for the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup, and I don't know how much time we're going to have to play, but you're going to want to see the whole thing. There's a house fire, and they show up with the news to interview one of the neighbors who not only is drunk, but appears to have a stuttering problem and may also be a little bit retarded. But he's the witness on the scene who explains what happened and how the fire broke out in the neighborhood. You've got to hear this.
Tommy, you've had a few beers. Is that because of the trying to forget the fire?
I lived here my whole freaking life. I lived here almost my whole life, buddy. And you know, I have some bad things to say about those people. I'm going to get racial here. I'm going to get racial. Okay. Friggin' nobody filled that oil tank all winter long.
It's like talking to Gary Busey all over again.
Can
see all the videos and more. Go to kevinandbean.com. Check out the Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Just half expect Ralph to interrupt whatever I'm doing because he's got Ferdinand Magellan on the phone or somebody like that that I need to talk to.
I have Ferdinand Magellan on
or
the
whoever.
Phone?
How
whoever.
Shocking
that's
would
where,
that be?
That's where your brain went. For popular showbiz names I could use, your mind leapt to an ancient navigator.
I don't know why that was the first thing that came to mind, but I'm just thinking unlikely people on the Kevin and Bean show. I'm saying last hour you broke in and said, ooh, I got Gary Busey or someone that sounds like him on the phone. Now who's next, right?
Why do you continue to sow the seeds of doubt when it was the Buse?
It might have been the Buse. A lot of people, most people I think at this point on the email and the Twitter and the text, they're saying it was the Buse. They believe it
was
the
Buse. Yeah, but every time you say, or was it, it just
foments
the more challenges to people's minds whether it actually was him or not. And I will not
stand
for
it. You don't know, man.
I do know. I do know. That's why
I'm saying
I know.
What time are we talking to Ferdinand Magellan?
Let's just get to
the showbiz
news.
Showbiz beat to end another Kevin and Bean show. What's going on?
Ever since this Charlie Sheen thing has started, people have been asking, where are the Dan Gregory brothers? Where are they to do their auto-tune remix of the news?
Good point.
And it's true. We've gotten a ton of songs on the internet based on Charlie Sheen. Most of them lame. Most of them not winning. there was one good one by Apollo. What was the name of that band we had on last week?
Yes, I wasn't here for that, but I know the
Apollo
one you're talking
Run?
About. They did it.
Apollo Run, yeah.
Did it kind of as a piano ballad
they
of
did
all
like,
of his famous.
Coldplay does Charlie Sheen, which was a great original song that they did. But most of the auto tunes and the remixes and stuff have been, in my opinion, lacking. Because the Gregory brothers, they're the best at this. No one does it like they do.
Hey, they took the Antoine Dodson thing and turned it into a hit record based on the auto-tune that they did of that news piece.
And remember Backing Up, that woman who was in the robbery? I mean, everything they touch, I think, is just genius. And they finally have released their Charlie Sheen song. And once again, they did a great job. Here's just a little taste of it. There's the Charlie Sheen song from the Gregory Brothers.
We love to party. What's not to love? The Royal Amazon, Dave Dagger, and Richard looked like droopy-eyed armless children. That's how I party. That's how I party. I was banging 7 gram rocks. That's how I roll. Winning. I had one gear. Go. Epic winning.
Are you bipolar?
I'm bipolar.
winning. Win there, win there, win, win. Everywhere, where. Absolute victory everywhere. Where, where. I'm on a quest.
We're gonna win everywhere.
Right every single wrong.
Right every wrong.
I'm a total freaking rock star from Mars. Baby, come on, bro. I got Titan blood. Baby, bottle my brains and feel like, dude, can't handle it. Went there, went there, went, went everywhere.
I've got a list, got me sore this. From the epic win to the desperate that win this. Chicken nugget, baby, bubblegum, baby. Pretending to text to avoid someone.
Epic, baby.
Slow dance, baby. Slow pants, baby.
That's just a taste. You can get more of it on their YouTube site. But, boy, is that a good song.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not much you can say other than genius.
That's right. Genius, indeed. They write songs that I would listen to on the radio, even if they weren't spoofs of news. That's okay.
They have a way with a melody, that's for sure.
They sure do. So congratulations to those guys again. Sad news today as we found out that former Alice in Chains bassist Mike Starr passed away.
He was a pussy.
Oh, come on, Charlie.
No, that's inappropriate. Come on.
Passed away yesterday in a Salt Lake City home. He was 44 years old. Mm. Appeared on the third season of Celebrity Rehab. We all watched him very publicly fight his substance abuse problem, and it looks like it finally won. Mike, of course, was an original member of Alice in Chains, but left the band in 93 and was replaced by Mike Inez. But, yeah, sad news, because we were all pulling for that guy. We kind of fell in love with him on Celebrity Rehab.
We did, and he, you know, he's a guy who had a lot of support in his life. He had a lot of people who were really rooting for him and trying to help him, and sometimes it just shows you how powerful addiction can be when, you know, even with a great support system, it's not enough sometimes.
Smoking hot actress and model Sophie Monk, who announced just a couple weeks ago that she was engaged to some guy named Jimmy S-Bag. Who I
doubt that's his name. That doesn't sound...
Jimmy D-Bag. That's what I called him. apparently, she's calling it off. Which is cool, because he was much older than she was, and he wore an ascot or something. It was wildly inappropriate. She said on a recent interview that she's newly single and may turn Samantha Ronson, she said in her words.
Whoa!
A thinly veiled reference to perhaps exploring the other side of sexuality.
How bad was this guy if it turned her on all men?
I don't know, but whoever she ends up with, I would like to just run the camera. That's all I ask.
I sort of have a boner.
Yeah. Oh, I love Sophie Monk so much.
Yeah, she's the real deal.
Tom Brady's a big girl.
No kidding.
Just a huge, huge girl. Just a girl of mythic proportions. New photos. I don't know if you saw them on the internet or not this week, but People Magazine had some pictures of Tom Brady partying in Brazil for Carnival with his wife, Gisele Bündchen.
And right up until that point, he's winning.
Yeah. Until you see he's wearing a ponytail at Carnival that is topped off with a scrunchie. He's got his hair in a scrunchie. Scrunchie, people.
I'm going to pass.
Did I mention scrunchie?
You did.
He should give back his Super Bowl ring. He should leave the sport. He should just be taken out back and just pummeled.
Now, I'm with you 100% on this, and when I saw Tom Brady in a ponytail, I thought that there's no way any man can wear a ponytail. But I asked Lisa earlier today off the air, and she said there are circumstances under which a ponytail is acceptable for a grown man, and I was shocked to hear that.
Well, I think maybe some kinds of artists, perhaps.
Okay, what kind of artists?
Like maybe a painter.
You mean
or something.
Douchebag artists?
That community.
Like escape artists?
You know?
People who do graphic arts? Like an eclectic sculptor or something like that?
Yeah, somebody like that.
He better be
it
foreign.
Might be okay.
He better be a foreigner if he's going to rock a ponytail.
Right,
how about the NFL quarterbacks? Can they rock the ponytail?
No, they cannot.
What if they put their hair up in a scrunchie? What
Nobody
about them?
Nobody uses scrunchies anymore. Women
don't
use them.
Not even girls, yeah.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
How is a ponytail not a deal breaker on any guy to any woman, though? That's what I don't understand.
Let me just check my memory banks here for a second.
Excuse me.
Think, did anyone on this particular show ever wear two ponytails?
Two, not one, but two.
The side of their head, a.k.a. Pippi Longstocking?
Pigtails are completely acceptable and extremely masculine. Extremely masculine. No to the ponytail, yes to the pigtails.
Let's just be done with this show. Today's celebrity birthdays. Linda Fiorentino is 53 years old today. 30 Seconds to Mars drummer Shannon Leto is 41. Emmanuel Lewis, who was Little Webster on the TV show of the same name, he's 40.
And the final
old.
Question for Emmanuel Lewis, do birds ever pick you up and carry you off to their nests?
No, but that would be interesting.
Love him.
little guy. Kara Smith is 39, Chingy's 31, Bow Wow's 24, and Brittany Snow celebrates her 25th birthday. Bean doesn't like her because she spells her name with an A. That's all you need to know about my...
I don't care for the B-R-I-T-T-A-N-Y.
That's all you need to know about my boy Bean, people. That's all you need to know.
Man.
Pigtails and no A in Brittany. That's the kind of thing that's filling up his tiny little mind. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we got a good one. As you know, April Foolishness tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 for street team members. Go to kevinandbean.com for all the details. One of the stars of that night, April 2nd, Jay Moore, is going to be joining us in studio tomorrow. Love Jay so much. So happy that he's coming in. Also, we'll talk to a woman who's written a very controversial article called Why You're Not Married, Lisa. We're talking to author Tracy McMillan on the program tomorrow. Why is Mike Huckabee, who wants to be the president of the United States, picking on poor little Natalie Portman? What's not to love about Natalie Portman? We'll discuss tomorrow. We got a new Bean's Death Corner for you tomorrow also, and we will also be giving away tickets for the April Foolishness before you can even buy them. That's all tomorrow right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean.